Well, thank you for that wonderful introduction, and it's wonderful to be with all of you tonight, live and in color, at Fairfield Church of Christ. And this evening, I wanted to bring to you a message about spiritual resilience. And as many of you know, I preach at Coble every fourth Sunday of every month. And those of you that were there this past month probably are pretty familiar with this lesson. But as somebody who this morning had to deal with a loss of power, 11 annoying family members, and trying to shower with a wicked sunburn, I'm in need of giving this lesson once more. So let's get into it, shall we? On a consumer flight from Portland, Maine to Boston, Massachusetts in the summer of 1987, the pilot heard an unusual noise from the rear of the aircraft. The pilot, being Henry Dempsey, turned the controls over to his co-pilot and went to the back to check it out. As he reached the tail section, the plane hit an air pocket, and Dempsey was tossed against the rear door. He quickly discovered the source of this mysterious noise. The rear door had not been properly shut before takeoff. And as soon as it fell open, Dempsey was sucked out of the jet. The co-pilot, who noticed the red light on the control panel that indicated an open door, he radioed the nearest airport requesting an emergency landing. He reported that Dempsey had fallen out of the plane and requested that a helicopter search the nearby ocean. After the plane had landed, the ground crew found Henry Dempsey holding on to the outer ladder of the aircraft. Somehow he had caught the ladder and managed to hold on for 10 minutes as the plane flew for 200 miles an hour at an altitude of 4,000 feet, which is amazing to me. What is more, as the plane made its approach and landed, Dempsey kept his head from hitting the runway, which would have been catastrophic if he hadn't have done that. It was a mere 12 inches from the ground. And according to news reports, it took several airport personnel more than just a few minutes to pry his fingers off that ladder. Now that is a picture of endurance. That's a picture of resilience. The ability to hang on when it would have been easier just to let go and accept your fate. Now many people are blessed with certain attributes, but endurance jumps to the forefront for success no matter what you do. Endurance is the key that keeps us from giving up and letting go. Endurance, otherwise known as the power of going on in spite of difficulties, has many synonyms that go along with it, whether it be keep on keeping on or hang in there or put up with it. One of those that's become popular in today's modern culture is keep calm and carry on. Now, some people don't even know the origin of what this phrase means. They just like using it for pretty posters and all that kind of stuff. But the origin of this phrase came in 1939, and the British government put these posters that said keep calm and carry on in the cities that were being targeted by German bombers. And sometimes just for entertainment, I'll look up what those air raid sirens, you know, would sound like on YouTube. And they're some of the scariest things I've ever heard. So hearing those night in and night out fearing for your life would be terrible. And that shows the amount of resilience it took for those people. So no matter the different synonyms, we know that Henry Dempsey would just say it's holding on for dear life in the most literal sense possible. And the Bible considers endurance a priority in our lives. Paul expresses importance in character development, and it reads in Romans 5, 3 through 5. And not only that, but we also rejoice in our afflictions, because we know that affliction produces endurance. Endurance produces proven character, and proven character produces hope. This hope does not disappoint, because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The writer of Hebrews also knew the importance of perseverance, and it reads like this in Hebrews 10:36. For you need endurance, so that you have done God's will, you may receive what was promised. And before I carry on with my points for this evening, in some ministers' sermons, they enjoy doing just one passage and then making points around that. I prefer getting one certain topic and getting many verses from different passages. That just works best for me. So if you don't want to turn to all the verses that I use this evening, you don't have to. If you just want to follow along, that is fine. So the following practical secrets will enable you to develop perseverance. Number one, we must learn to accept the unchangeable. Accept those things in life that can't be changed. William Barclay described endurance as the courageous acceptance of everything life can do to us and the transmitting of even the worst event into another step on the upward way. Let's face it, some events and circumstances are inevitable. Sometimes life isn't fair. An example of this is, well, if I'm in the store and I want something really bad and I beg, like, Mom, please give this to me. And she's like, no, Josh, you can't have it. And then I say, but that's not fair. And he's like, shut up, Josh, life's not fair. That's an example of accepting the unchangeable. And sometimes, in one way or another, we fall out of unlocked airplane doors. Though hopefully not literally, because I don't know how many of us would be as lucky as Henry Dempsey. But it helps to remember that God is in charge of our lives. His desire is for us to grow in the likeness of His Son, the perfect man. So whatever enters our life, whether it be unfavorable circumstances, tragic events, or irritating people that you see every day, it's just for the development of character, be it good, bad, or indifferent. Now, whenever you watch a TV show or a movie, the character you focus on most is the main protagonist. And why is that? It's because that character is usually the one that has endured the most throughout that character's story. Usually we don't care as much about side characters who have gone through no obstacles. Our focus is on the one that has gone through those main obstacles. And the same applies to our life. We get more out of it if we have to jump through those hoops ourselves. Another example to life sea urchins that brings a positive response is an oyster and its pearl. The pearl is a product of pain. It happens whenever a grain of sand slips into the oyster's shell, and after that happens, the oyster feels a great amount of pain. But all these different resources that the oyster has is sent to that one wounded spot, and it begins healing over, and after the healing process has taken place, a beautiful pearl is formed. Had there been no pain, no adversity, the beautiful pearl wouldn't have been there to begin with. And that brings me to my second point. Adjust to the obstacles. A young naval captain was commanding his first battleship. As it pierced through the ocean one night, a light was spotted in the darkened distance, coming straight towards the ship. The commander radioed, "Alter your course 10 degrees." The reply came shortly, "No, you alter your course 10 degrees." And the undaunted captain angrily sent a message who you can tell was very stubborn. He says, "Alter your course, for I am a destroyer." The reply came quickly, "Alter your course, I am a lighthouse." Sometimes we just have to adjust to fit the realities of life. Solomon writes in Proverbs 22:3, "A sensible person sees danger and takes cover, but the inexperienced keep going and are punished." Now, some circumstances are unavoidable. Disappointments are certain in our lives. Obstacles are sure. Losses will occur. In Major League Baseball, they play 162 games. The likelihood of going undefeated is slim to none. And that's how life works, too. The odds of us going perfect are zero. There's no slim to it. It's just zero. That's why only one man has ever done it before. But the person with perseverance acknowledges the roadblocks and makes adjustments to those. Thomas Carlyle noted, "The block of granite that was an obstacle in the pathway of the weak becomes a stepping stone in the pathway of the strong." When obstacles of life are stacked before us, we can adjust by either going around, going over, or going under. Now, are you allowing these difficulties to disfigure your life and to make you more disheartened than you should be? Then just transform these into stepping stones. When we adjust the detours of life, God reveals some of His most marvelous handiwork off that beaten path. Now, don't think of adjustment as failure. When you have to change your way of doing things, it's not you accepting defeat. It's you just trying to improvise and to find a better way to go at the situation. Now, hang on and see what God has in store for you around that next bend in the road. And that brings me to number three, abide with patience. Now, someone once said, "You can do anything if you have patience. You can carry water in a sieve if you wait until it freezes." Unfortunately, most of us just aren't that patient. And when we need something, we usually pray, "Lord, give me patience, and I want it now." Kind of counteracts, doesn't it? Or as Margaret Thatcher, former British Prime Minister, once said, "I am extraordinarily patient, provided I get my own way in the end." But one can't learn patience by listening to a sermon unless the sermon is so long that they have to sit through it, which honestly makes me kind of sad that Rodney isn't here. You guys may be missing out on a great life lesson there. I'm just kidding. I feel like it's become tradition in me for me to take at least one shot at the hot rod while he's absent. But nor can we learn patience by reading a book unless the book is so boring that we have to fight our way through it. The only way to truly learn patience is to face the world head on. We have to take life as it comes. It is holding on, gritting your teeth, clenching your jaw, and riding out that storm, no matter how severe it might be. And that's not easy. Joyce Landorf writes, "God's waiting room is the most difficult aspect of the Christian experience." And as I move on to college this fall in Fried Hardeman, one of the classes I'm taking for my major, for my Bible major, is Greek 1. And of course, the Greek language has many translations that we can see that help us understand the Bible a little bit more. And in the Greek language, the term for patience is often translated as long-suffering. It's a compound word. And the first part means long or far. The second part means hot, anger, or wrath. Putting it together, we literally have long anger. We have an English expression, short-tempered. But we wouldn't be hitting it too far off the mark if we called patience long-tempered instead. Patience is that ability that keeps us from blowing up when events don't go our way or losing our cool when others upset us. Believers are called to display patience. It's one of the biggest callings in our life. And James writes in James 5, 7 through 8, "Therefore, brothers, be patient until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth and is patient with it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts because the Lord's coming is near." James shows how that farmer demonstrates patience. A farmer cannot make it rain, he cannot make the plants grow any faster. He must only rely on God to act in the most wise and most merciful way. The secret of patience is abiding. We must learn to rest and endure under that load of pain and suffering, which honestly sometimes seems to be a bit unbearable. But with fellow Christians by our side and God's word as our tool, anything is possible. We must learn to rest and endure. We abide under the load of pain and suffering by abiding with God. We must not only learn to abide in Christ, but also abide with Christ under that load, under the struggle and pressures in life. And this brings me to my fourth and final point this morning. I guess that shows you how little I preach on evenings. That brings me to my fourth and final point this evening. Affirm the presence. As we progress towards a life that resembles Jesus Christ, we must always remember that God is with us every step of the way. Sometimes God is like a teacher instructing us. Sometimes God is a fellow co-worker who's challenging us to be better and to reach further excellence. God is that spectator encouraging us to keep on keeping on. Whatever situation we find ourselves, God is always with us. And these past few years in high school, I was a part of the baseball team. And let me tell you, we would run an unholy amount. Like, you would think we were the track team at one point. But when it all came down to it, the point of all that running was to build up our stamina and to build up our ability to keep going even when games got long and kind of drug on. We would run, even though we would run what seemed like forever, there was a goal in mind. And as we run toward a distinctive life of character, we will experience a similar feeling. It feels like we're getting towards the end. We're tired. We don't want to go on anymore. But thankfully, our bodies are equipped with something we like to call second wind. Getting started possesses no problem to us. We all can start strong at the beginning. See, for me, I'm a slow runner with no stamina at all. So whenever we would run around the track, I would start off pretty good, but then by the end, I was trying to drag myself on the brink of death, it felt like. But occasionally, I would hit that second wind that would push me forward. A time comes when our personal resources are exhausted. Yet as we endure, God seems to give us that spiritual second wind. Isaiah just even described this miracle, and it reads, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? Yahweh is the everlasting God, the creator of the whole earth. He never grows faint or weary. There is no limit to his understanding. He gives strength to the weary and strengthens the powerless. Youths may faint and grow weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles." They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. And that comes from Isaiah 40:28-31. The secret to this is found in affirming in God's presence. The world says give up. The world says drop out, run away. President Trump once said, treat the word impossible as nothing more than motivation. The more a broken system tells you that you're wrong, the more certain you should be that you should keep pushing forward and pushing ahead. And our spiritual lives seem kind of like that quote, don't they? The more this broken, shattered, evil world tells us Christians that what we're doing is wrong and what we're doing is a waste of time, we should rejoice in that because we know that's just the devil getting desperate to stop us because he knows who's going to be on top in the end. Ignaz Paderewski, I don't know if I pronounced that right, but he is a Polish piano player. He was a famous concert pianist and prime minister, and he was giving a series of concerts. A mother, wishing to encourage her young son's progress at the piano, bought tickets for a performance so he may learn from him. Now, when the night arrived, they found their seats near the front of the concert hall and eyed that majestic Steinway waiting on the stage. The mother spotted a friend in the audience and walked down the aisle to greet her. Seizing the opportunity to explore the wonders of the concert hall, the little boy eventually made his way through a door that was marked No Admittance. When the house lights dimmed and the concert was about to begin, the mother returned to her seat and discovered that her son was missing. And I can't imagine the kind of fear it must instill into a mother because, well, about 10 years ago, maybe less than that, we were at the beach one time, and this is kind of an embarrassing story, but I was walking with Dad back after collecting shells, and this was during the summer. It was crowded, people shoulder to shoulder. And I said, Dad, hey, I think I see Mom. I'm going to go and run on ahead, you know, thinking I was being the independent little boy. So I run up there to an umbrella. It wasn't my mom. So I start turning around, looking every direction in panic, thinking, well, this is the last time. I'm not going to live past 10 years old. But thankfully, I see her rounding the corner. And I run in, give her a great big hug, and we're reunited once again. But in those few moments that I was missing, I can't imagine the fear that was in my mom's heart. Same goes for this mother here. So suddenly the curtains parted, and the spotlights focused on the grand piano in the middle of the stage. In horror, the mother saw her little boy sitting at the keyboard. And he was just innocently picking out Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star on the keyboard. His mother gasped. But before she could retrieve her son, the great piano master appeared on stage and walked up behind the boy. He whispered to the boy, "Don't quit. Keep playing." He leaned over, he reached down with his left hand and began filling in the bass part. Soon his right arm reached around the other side, encircling the child, and both of them together formed a beautiful, beautiful sound, and the crowd was held mesmerized. Now, in our quest for contagious character, as unpolished and as incomplete as we might be, it is the Master, who is God, who surrounds us and whispers in our ear, "Don't quit, keep playing." And as we do, he keeps supplying us with the strength to keep going, and amazing beauty is created from that. What we can accomplish on our own is hardly noteworthy. Like, I'm going to go ahead and be blunt with all of you, including myself. Without God, we're nothing. We are just little specks on an earth that are just waiting for our time to go. But with God, that gives our life purpose. It gives us a chance to live with him in heaven and not be just those specks floating in the wind, so to speak. We try our best to be independent sometimes, but the results aren't graceful, flowing music like in the story. But with the hand of our master, our character can truly be beautiful, and it can truly be a beacon to others. Our responsibility is to not quit, but to keep playing. And his part is to fashion a masterpiece. Remember, God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. And he'll always be there to love and guide you to great, great things. So as I close out this evening, are you close to quitting? Please don't do it. Are you tired of trying to live for Christ? Hang in there. I promise it'll be worth it. Do you feel like giving up on the Christian life? Roll up your sleeves and get back in there. Can't resist temptation? Accept God's forgiveness and keep living on rightly. Is your relationship failing? Then grab your significant other's hand and get praying. Are you looking for inspiration in your life? You've got the Bible right next to you. Open it and find it. I want you to deal with your problems by becoming rich in spirit. Endurance prevails. The Bible tells us this. God's rewards await us in the distant future. It's not near the beginning. If it were near the beginning, then everyone would be able to hold on and claim that prize. And we don't know how many steps it's going to take to reach this prize. There are no breaks. There are no timeouts like in sports. We must work every day in our lives to reach this goal. Like it's been said, life is like reading a book. It begins to make sense when we near the end. Endurance maintains the stamina needed to see the end and embrace the prize. So fight another round, rise another time, and above all, like Henry Dempsey, don't let go. If you need a word of encouragement this morning, if you'd like to put Christ on in baptism, you can do so at this time. It's together we stand and we sing.